We're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Here for another 10 minutes, we have USD 3D3 Superintendent Marvin Wade and Board Member Dave Colburn. Phone lines once again open, 785-537-1350. And it's an exciting time to be a student at Manhattan High School, as we were talking during the break. Athletics are doing so well right now. You had a state wrestling competition this last weekend, and as we heard earlier this morning on the K-Man Morning News Show, you had some great successes at the 6A State Tournament, Dave.
We had our team is the state championship team, and we had some individual state winners. And last time that Manhattan won state was 2012, I believe. Our wrestling program has always been stellar, and they really had a great year this year with some outstanding seniors. And so we're going to, at some point, we'll have them into the boardroom to congratulate them. Basketball teams are both doing very well, highly ranked in the state. And we've got sub-state games going on here in Manhattan this week. And boys are playing Junction City tomorrow night, I know. And we're always, we're proud of our athletic accomplishments, but there's lots of other things going on. And I wanted to call out in particular the Business Professionals of America. 13 students qualified at the state BPA conference, and they're going to go to the national convention in Orlando, Florida in May. And they're doing all sorts of interesting things. There's extemporaneous speaking, there's accounting, there's all kinds of computer applications, and I haven't seen the list of which students are doing what at Nationals, but it's a really neat program and gives kids a chance to work on something not exactly, classroom related necessarily, but it's all part of their growth and their development in becoming successful adults.
You have some very busy students, just because it seems like almost every meeting there's students going somewhere, whether it's the robotics team going to Kansas City, or you have children going to Indianapolis recently for FFA competitions, things like that. It seems like grants and donations probably help offset some of the costs, don't they?
That's true, they do. And so tonight we've got three grants and donations we want to recognize. One is a $500 Native American headdress from Juan Maldonado, donated to Manhattan High School to promote Native American history and heritage. We have a $3,500 cash donation from Northview Elementary PTA to the school to be used for field trips, and a $10,000 cash grant from Riley County's Raising Riley to College Hill Preschool for student fees. So that's a total of $14,000 at this board meeting, and every week we get significant donations in money and services from our community partners, and we just couldn't do it without them. So we really appreciate that.
Well, I'd like to go back to something we talked about earlier, too, if I could, because during the break I had a chance to look at the survey for the facility study, and there is a limited time that window is going to be open. So I want to remind people that if you go to our website, on the right, you'll see it says, "We want your input, USD 383 facility study." And this is only open between March 1st and March 15th for us to be able to get the input from people. So I wanted to get that plug in there as well.
You have 2 weeks.
USD383.org is the website.
Well, and from my understanding, there's a new principal at Lee Elementary School.
There is a new principal. Hopefully the board will approve this tonight. I think they will. They know this individual well. Mindy Sanders is going to be the new Lee Elementary School principal. She's been working for the last 6 years as the assistant to the principal at Bergman Elementary. She's got a lot of experience. She's worked hard to get expertise in a wide range of areas, and she did a great job in the interview. Really, we had quality candidates. We had four people we interviewed. They all did a good job, and she rose to the top as somebody that we have confidence in. The staff have confidence in her ability to lead that school.
Is it tough stepping in mid-year as an administrator?
Well, she'll come in next year for the start of the year, so she'll be okay. Dr. Cole is retiring at the end of this year, so we just went through the process of hiring her now for next year. So that gives us some time to work with her before Dr. Cole leaves.
It really shows the excellence of your staff when you're able to make an inside hire like that too, doesn't it?
It does. We had internal candidates, external candidates. Again, they all did a good job, but she understands our system. Not just understanding our system, but she has a broad understanding of education in general. we're just real excited to have Mindy moving up the ranks into the principal position.
Further going through the agenda for this evening, I know Lou Faust is not on the agenda, but school financing, always a fantastic topic, and maybe it's even been more interesting these last few weeks, as there was debate about repealing the tax law last week in Topeka. Dave, I know you keep your fingers on the pulse of that pretty clearly. What are some of the latest developments?
Well, Dr. Wade and I both went to the Chamber of Commerce's Eggs and Issue breakfast Saturday morning and heard from our local legislators. And so we've got three big things percolating. We have a Supreme Court decision on school funding that's hanging out there, and a lot of people thought we'd hear something by now, still haven't heard anything. That could come. They won't prescribe a dollar amount, but most people are projecting it's hundreds of millions of dollars that they're going to say we need to put into public schools. Obviously, the state's in a very difficult position in terms of income. We've borrowed and hawked and done everything we can to balance budgets, and we're still significantly short this fiscal year and coming up short for next fiscal year. We've seen everything from 5% across the board cuts to other suggestions for solving this year's budget problems. And then we have the attempt to create a new school finance formula. And that's really important. It's wonky and it's detailed and it's complicated, but it sets the tone for a generation of students to be educated, because the last school funding formula came into play in the early 90s, and the one before that I think was around 1980. So these things, once they're in place, they go for a long time, and they really set the course for public education in the state. So it's really important stuff that's going on. And Dr. Wade and the rest of the board and lots of people in Manhattan are watching what's going on in Topeka.
Well, and maybe even looking nationally, how do you think the appointment of Betsy DeVos as Secretary of Education will impact the national stage? Just because when you research Ms. DeVos, she stands for a lot of things that people in Kansas stand against as far as the vouchers programs and some of the privatization. Do you see there being a paradigm shift within the federal government that will impact how schools are ran in our state?
Boy, that's a tough one, because, like you said, those issues are controversial. There's people that say that that's going to undermine the quality of public education at a time where we're already short of funding and we have higher expectations. Now to siphon off more funds, creates even more of a challenge. There's also the aspect of it's been widely acknowledged that part of the intent of putting her in that position would be to disband the federal Department of Education and shift those responsibilities even further to the state level. So what that would mean, we're just not quite sure when we have a lot of our funds come in. A majority of our funds come from the state level, but there's the federal funds that come with special education, with Title I, with Title III, the English language learners, just a lot of different funds that come from the federal level. That does that mean they're going to do away with those funding streams and the requirements that go along with them? Just not quite sure how that's going to play out yet, and haven't read much about it yet, other than anxiety.
Lots of people, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of people are rather hopeful. Some people are rather critical. You look at some of her accomplishments in Michigan, a lot of people who interacted with her in her home state, they have a few things to say. And so do you think, I know USD 383 has a pretty strong presence in the state capital on a regular basis. Are there any organizations that exist within Kansas that would be able to make their voices heard on a national platform?
Well, absolutely. The Kansas Association of School Boards is very active in the National Association of School Boards. And we have a board member, Leah Flyder, who works for the Kansas Association of School Boards. And she attended the National School Boards Association meeting in Washington recently. So Kansas is absolutely active on the national level. I agree with Dr. Wade. It's just really hard to know what's going to come. What I'll say as a public school advocate is I have no problem with charters. I have no problem with private schools. However, if they're going to receive tax dollars, they have to operate under the exact same rules and restrictions and requirements that public schools do. They can't pick and choose, in my opinion. If we're going to use public dollars to fund private schools, then they've got to accept all comers the way we do. They've got to meet all the requirements, all that. You know, there's tons of talk about taking away restrictions and requirements on the business level. Nobody ever talks about easing up the restrictive burden on public schools, and they're thick and deep and wide. And most of them are there oftentimes for good reasons, but we operate, I shouldn't say we, I don't run the schools, Dr. Wade does, but public schools operate under just a mountain of federal and state requirements. Many of them are not fully funded. They require us to do things, but they don't give us the funds necessary to meet the mandates. So I'm not anti-public or private school. I am anti-vouchers. I'm not anti-charter schools, but again, it's got to be fair. It's got to be, if you take public dollars, then you take all the restrictions and requirements and expectations that come with those dollars.
And the, going back to the comment about at the federal level, that we do have communication with our legislators there as well, and send emails, letters, phone calls, just like other individuals do. So we let them know our opinion on different positions as individuals and as a school district. The charter piece, I've had some experience with charters. And again, as Dave said, it depends on what their intentions are. That I've seen a charter that was successful. They took and the way it was successful was it was part of a school district. The school district was responsible for the success of a charter and entered into a contract where they agreed they would hire licensed teachers. They would have full days. They would have full years. That charter worked well. But then there's other charters. We see the horror stories about, you know, they become for-profit machines that don't necessarily have the best interest of students at heart. So I think it's partly the oversight that's going to be put into place anytime there's a charter school opportunity.
Well, and you know, it's only March 1st, so at the state level, there's still plenty of more time for things to get hairy this legislative session. It's 9:34 here at News Radio KMAN. We're listening to In Focus this morning. We've been hearing from USD 3D3 Superintendent Marvin Wade and Board Member Dave Colburn. Coming up next, we'll hear from Kansas State University's Student Body President Jessica Van Rankin. This is In Focus.
Whether you need a new washer and dryer, refrigerator, stove, or the best night's sleep.